Hello and welcome to What Else Is On the Show on the Else Nerds Network, where we talk about the movies and TV shows that we've watched over the past week. I'm Gregor Sprague, and joining me as always is Corey Scott. Corey, how you doing?
I am fine. We didn't get a music introduction this week. Is it because we did two last
Post. Week? It's going in post.
Oh, yay, Post!
Yes.
It's my favorite breakfast cereal brand.
I'm a Kellogg man myself.
Not a complaint. It's just, it's so interesting to see behind the scenes when I don't really know what you're doing any more than anybody else.
Yeah, when you probably know a little bit more than I do about what I'm doing, actually. Because I never really have quite the clue of what I'm doing, because I'm trying to learn stuff on computer software and hardware that's, fingers crossed, doesn't crap on me.
Yeah, you know, it's all learning process. I've been impressed with what you've done with the website,
yeah.
Just in general. I mean, WordPress is tricky, to quote the bard DMC. But
but no,
it looks pretty good. We just need some stuff up there.
And a lot of it is just me copying Dave, me copying Galactic Netcast and going, all right, what can I take from them and put on here that doesn't cost money because I'm cheap?
Imitation is the most sincere form of ripoff. If you're going to emulate somebody, emulate Dave.
Yeah.
Or someone with a lot more money than Dave.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so let's talk a quick bit about news, and I'm throwing you the curveball here, but Hannibal got canceled.
Yeah, that's very sad. Now, I haven't kept up with Hannibal since partway through the first season, but it was always one of those things that I kept wanting to get back to. And I have some friends. Obviously, Beatmaster is a big Hannibal fan and has talked about it. I think he's the one person who puts it in the doc every week. I have another friend on Facebook, a couple friends who are big Hannibal fans. And it seems like it's a very good show. It's one of those things that struggled in the numbers. And it was sort of surprising when Constantine didn't get renewed and picked up at NBC, but Hannibal was coming back for a third season and it didn't seem like its numbers were necessarily any better. And it was just a quirky of a show. I think that if Constantine had been more like Hannibal, it may have taken off a little bit more because it would have that supernatural aspect that would get it, you know, the kind of niche genre viewers. It would have the ties to DC Comics, but it would also have more of a horror leaning, which I think was one of the strongest parts about Hannibal, was that the fact that it was really dark and really bloody and didn't hold back.
Yeah. No, I never got into Hannibal from the movies or from now. And I even saw it in the news feed when I was going through the 15 articles I saved over the weekend for the splash page, trying to whittle it down to 6, which was hard when I got to the top 7. And then I saw that again. I saw that and I'm like, oh, wow, that sucks. Corey and B would be upset, and maybe Evan. But then also them going, but we're going to try shopping at other places. Yeah, everyone tries to do that.
Everyone tries to do that, but it would be very good as a pairing with something like the Bates Motel show. It might put the Bates Motel show in its place. I could not handle watching that show when it started out, and I just walked away.
Yeah, I want to say, though, that Bates Motel, I don't know for sure, but I think they're wrapping up after season 5. Like, I had seen an article that said... Yeah, go ahead.
That makes sense, but I don't think they're at season 4 yet, either. I think they're probably still maybe in the third.
I don't remember exactly what season they're on, but they had gotten, like, the renewal for up through season 5, is what I think the news article was that I saw. And so he goes, well, this is natural. Like, we have this natural story arc that ends at season 5, so now that we're here, this is it. We're not going to try for anymore.
Yeah, which is good. I prefer a series that knows when their natural endpoint should be. The other thing is that obviously Netflix is the promised land for when a show gets canceled prematurely and they feel that there's still stuff out there. So if Hannibal were to get picked up by Netflix, I don't know how much more mature the themes and visuals I'd want to go, but it would certainly have the room to. Again, I'm very impressed that NBC has given the show the time that it has and, you know, let it be the show that it is. It being the lowest network on the totem pole, so to speak, they definitely have the ability to take chances. It's just rare that they seem to. Mm-hmm. This was a big deal that this show was greenlit, was not necessarily nurtured, but was allowed to continue to be what it was, and given time to try to develop an audience. It's just unfortunate that it never caught.
Yeah.
But it's not for the quality. It's not for, you know, anybody who's on the show. I think they're all very good. I think it's just, it's hard to get people on who were never on board to begin with, no matter what kind of buzz it gets. And it's a quiet buzz, but the audience that loves it really loves it.
So you would say it's more of a low hum?
I'm not as big on the Hummer connection as you are. Whatever you got to do, man. But I think that it's an exquisite cast, and it's a very good, you know, strong concept for a show considering the source material of the movies, and trying to do something without Hopkins, which is difficult, but surprisingly worked well. I wasn't sure about Mads Mikkelsen when the show started, and he was actually very impressive. Plus, it's the guy who did Pushing Daisies, which is just a terrific show. Very different in what it's about. So I always root for the guy just because that show was so great.
And it's not like we're not going to see any of those people again, Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson, I don't know how you say her first name. She's going to be coming back out in X-Files this mm-hmm. fall, this year, something like that. And the dude who, I think he's the same guy, or I know someone from Pushing Daisies, is doing something else that's pretty big and had me excited when I saw it. I'm like, oh, cool, sort of deal. And I don't remember what that was.
I know that Lee Pace, the lead from Pushing Daisies, is on Halt and Catch Fire.
I don't think it was that. It was something new.
Okay.
It was something new, like, from the creator. And I'm like, oh, hey, cool.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So let's talk some of the TV shows and movies. So Killjoys. We'll start right off with the new sci-fi series starring Sean Ashmore's brother.
Yeah, Aaron Ashmore, who I look, as soon as the show started and I see him standing there, I'm like, oh, that's got to be an Ashmore. since Sean's been doing The Following, I've got to assume that's his brother, who was Jimmy Olsen on Smallville, and then went on to be on a bunch of sci-fi shows, including he became one of the regulars on Warehouse 13.
I'm sorry, but Aaron, in my eyes, gets no respect, because you said that. I'm like, wait, I thought that was Sean Ashmore. Like, every role that you're like, I'm like, wait, wasn't that Sean?
Sean was Iceman in the X-Men movies. Aaron went to the DC side and was playing Jimmy Olsen. And in the wonderful Smallville continuity, they screwed it all up by killing Jimmy. Sorry, spoilers, on the show, which made no sense at all.
Well, hey, multiverse.
That's the problem with these shows, is that they start out and like, oh, we're going to do this. And it's like, well, now we're screwed. What are you going to do?
But no, so what did you think of Killjoys?
I mean, my wife was like, oh, so this is a new sci-fi show? And I said, yeah. She goes, so it's going to suck? I'm like, well, we'll see. I didn't think it sucked. I thought it was pretty good. It's definitely dirty sci-fi. Did a lot to try to be Firefly.
Yeah.
In feel, in tone, in the characters, the way that they act. The look was very Firefly. I'm not saying it's a Western in space, but it's got that sort of grimier science fiction feel to it, which is good. I don't know how many other shows that sci-fi does that are like that, probably a lot. And it looks like a sci-fi show, meaning it's got that, it's not like it's low budget, it's not like it looks really fake. And you see just like a ton of green screen and stuff. It looks very professionally done, well done. But it just has that kind of look that the sci-fi channel shows do. Which makes it hard to distinguish them from each other.
Yeah.
But I liked the characters. I liked the introduction of his character's brother. I really liked the female lead on the show, who I didn't really recognize from anything else, but she was great. And there was a moment that was definitely, it sort of reminded me of how they used River in the Serenity movie, where she goes from being the quiet, sort of mostly reserved, you know, beat down mentally girl to suddenly being the badass. So there's this moment in Killjoys where the character, I think her name is Dutch.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so she comes walking down the hallway between all the guys. The two guys that she's with are pinned down by a bunch of shooters. She comes walking down the hallway in that slow motion movement, and you're like, okay, here's where she's going to come out and she's going to suddenly kick ass on him. No, I mean, that happens in a minute, but it before that, it actually kind of fools you because she pulls off her necklace and she throws the stones down and you're like, okay, so this is like a tripping thing or they're going to explode or something. They turn into these little robot spiders and go crawling up on the walls and crawl up to the guys and then explode. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Because it's like this great moment of a science fiction weapon that we haven't necessarily seen before. We've seen similar things, but it was just sort of out of nowhere. And it shows that there is a technological difference between where they are and where we are. And then she turns around and she starts beating ass on the other guys that come up behind her, which is fine. You know, that was the cliche I was expecting. It was the one thing to kind of tear it away and say, no, we're gonna subvert it just a little bit.
No, I really enjoy this. Like, I have to mention this, though, that I did take a break and came back to it, like, a day later. But that was more for the fact that while trying to catch up on Sense8, and somehow I ended up surpassing you on Sense8, I'm sitting there going, okay, what was on? What do I need to watch? I think it was on Saturday. And then today is when I ended up finishing it. Because there was just so much on here. If you were the viewers or listeners were to see our Google Doc, you would realize from last week to this week, it's like double of the shows that I watched that I'm mentioning.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point last week where I started trying to hedge bets and say, okay, obviously there's not a lot of stuff on, so I'm going to try to watch some stuff that's a little bit outside the norm. I watched the Equalizer film based off of the TV series that I really liked. And I enjoyed the movie quite a bit, but I'm not going to talk about it because it turned out there was way too much stuff starting up on Sunday. Even on Saturday, I watched Gone Girl for the same reason. I thought, okay, I'll see Gone Girl since it's premiering on HBO. Again, I really liked it. Not going to talk about it too much here. Yeah. It was really effed up. If you want to feel like everything just got really effed up, watch Gone Girl. That's my review. But you're right. It just was like a ton of stuff. Ton of stuff in the slow season of TV.
Yeah, and it's, I have to say, thanks USA for giving us that problem. But no, so like Killjoys, I enjoyed it. I think I might actually stick around for it. Hopefully I stick with it longer than I did Lost Girl. Because I'm like, oh cool, I'm into this. And then it's just, hey, it's still on. Or at least it was. I think it just got finish its last season, but yeah.
I think I'm going to try another couple episodes. I get very easily distracted from these types of shows. Again, the sci-fi shows, the look, the feel of them. But I want it to be good. I think if they up the characterization a little bit more, there was a joke on the Cleveland show where Junior is talking about Firefly and he says, you know, I didn't really take to Firefly because if you've got a show where everybody's Han Solo, then there's no Han Solo. And that's the underhanded kind of, scrubs of the universe thing. It is hard if all the characters have the same personality. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too.
Yeah.
So I want to see them develop in different things. I think that they each have their dark pasts. They each have their different niches, but they aren't super distinguishable from each other beyond a couple of surface things so far. So it's what they do next. And really the reason why Firefly worked for me is because of Joss and his team's writing. They just handle characterization so perfectly in dialogue, better than almost anybody.
Yeah.
That's why I kept tuning in. The storylines were fun. There were definitely great moments, great key moments, but a lot of it was based around the characters. The plots were sort of secondary for me. So I don't expect the plots to be super far-reaching on this. If they can pull off the character stuff, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And no, Beatmaster's mentioning Dark Matter, which is the other sci-fi show that premiered this week. I had missed that was happening. Killjoys, I kind of saw was coming on, and I recorded it on a whim. But I'm hearing a lot of comparisons between the two, and it seems like a lot of people didn't like either. They're just kind of putting them into the same boat of like, oh, well, sci-fi still doesn't know what it's doing. I saw advertisements for Sharknado 3. They're still doing what they did, but this is at least as Dave likes to say, it's going back to classic sci-fi. So I think it's right move.
It's slowly getting back there because WWE SmackDown is going to go to USA Network in, I think, the beginning of 2016. So that's like wrestling will be off of sci-fi at that point. Basically making USA Network WWE Network, but with commercials, which is confusing for me. And so I think it's going to be a slow build back to what everyone loved about the original sci-fi, not sci-fi as everyone likes to jokingly call it now.
I don't know if that's joking. That's just how they spelled it.
Well, yeah. But
I might try to check out Dark Matter, but for right now, Killjoys was a good time.
And I'm not going to lie, when I saw that it was like that the show was called Killjoys, in the back of my head, I'm like, wait, like,
you're
True
hoping.
Life of the Fabulous Killjoys?
Yeah, that was my first instinct, too. Although, I go Killjoy, I mean, you can go back to Killjoy Was Here, the Styx album, or you can go back to the original drawings of Killjoy that were up as graffiti everywhere, which is a little face and hand sticking over the brick wall with the nose down. Which I still don't really know where that came from. I'll have to Wikipedia that sometime.
But no, so another show that we both watched is Ballers on HBO, starting the new round of HBO shows that are out there. And this was starring The Rock and striking up some controversy, which could be an interesting thing, not necessarily good, but could be interesting if the NFL takes suit. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
So one of the things that is prevalent in the pilot for Ballers is the Miami Dolphins, a National Football League team. And they are saying there are claims and scuffles around that Dwayne Johnson, you know, The Rock, this star creator, all that stuff of Ballers, HBO didn't exactly get permission to use any NFL stuff in there for the show. So,
That's quite the oversight.
HBO has claimed that they had the rights, that they have rights to do it. Like, oh yeah, we are okay to do it. But they're like, we didn't get no documentation asking us to basically license this out to you. But other than that,
Master says, can't be worse than with Ace Ventura. That's true. I'm trying to remember, there was a football show that I watched as a kid on HBO, one of their first original series that I remember, called First and Ten. It was about a woman. It was Delta Burke, whose husband passed away or left her, or she got it in the divorce. She took over as owner of a national football team. And it was similar. I think Major League kind of ripped it off a little bit, but I don't think she was universally hated in the show. But it was a lot of back and forth of like, we don't understand why this little Southern belle, I think she was a beauty queen or something like that, why she suddenly thinks she's in charge of us. Had Donald Gibb was one of the football players. It was reasonably funny, and I didn't understand a lot of what was going on because I was both young and have no idea about sports. But if nothing else, they could maybe use the teams that they had made up for that, if they did, as the teams in this.
Well,
they have a whole set that we can just grab.
And it's but the thing with it, though, is it's such a minor little thing that they hit. Like
But at the same time, I mean, this is the problem with all copyright and trademark stuff, is that you have to defend your trademark across the board with everything, because any little thing that infringes on your trademark, if it's not defended, it loosens your hold on it. It basically makes it more difficult for you to sue somebody else down the road. If this show says we're going to use the Miami Dolphins without getting all the paperwork and stuff signed off on, then another show can come out and say, well, they did it, so now we can do it. And while I think that there's a lot of problems with the trademark and copyright laws in this country, and I think this is essentially one of them, I get that if I'm the lawyer for the Miami Dolphins, this is what I have to do. It's my job to go after these people and say, you didn't get the signed off. Now you have to pay us fat check. And yeah. then we still have to decide if we want you to use the license or not, because it's when you use it, it's our brand that you're utilizing. And if you do anything to disparage our brand somehow on there, it affects us.
And it didn't even, and it's like, I don't know the whole story of it. I just saw an article. I'm like, wait, what? And quickly read over it. And it's there. The Dolphins are not being disparaged upon in here. It's just
yet.
It's a yet in the pilot episode, because it was just a flashback to when the Rock's character played football. That's it. And I think the other team was a made up team, so it looks like it could focus a little bit with the Dolphins or what.
It's also, I mean, the character that The Rock winds up helping get signed to another team, he signs with the Dolphins, I believe, at the end.
Yeah.
So they have someone who's representing, as he's a member of the Dolphins team. We also had Gus from Psych was on there, which was great to see him. He was on the Dolphins team. We have someone who's representing themselves as the coach of that team. So everything that those characters do now, because they're listed as being part of the Miami Dolphins in a fictional show. I mean, it's a fictional show. Some people don't separate fiction from fact very well. And if there is a show and it's about the Miami Dolphins and you don't like the show, there's a danger that you might turn that into, I don't like the Dolphins team because of their show. It also could turn out, I don't like the Dolphins team, so I don't like your stupid show because it's about the damn Miami Dolphins. it goes both ways. But if I'm a player on the Miami Dolphins team and they start representing my team on the show as a bunch of people, which in this episode there was a lot of drinking, fighting, random sex in bar bathrooms and stuff, and I'm a person on that team, I'm going to feel like, well, this is supposed to be reflective of me as a player on this team. I don't like that image being put out there. You know, unless there's some Tim Tebow character that's supposed to be representative of me, I may take offense at that, or my wife may take offense at the fact that I'm part of a team that's being represented now that they are on TV. So there's a lot of different things that this can go. That's why those rules are so strict, I think.
No, yeah. And so overall, I mean, besides the whole legal thing aside, this is a really good, entertaining show. I mean, it's nice to see that there's an easier way for me to see The Rock be, you know, just his charismatic self, because it seems like he's playing a version of himself in here, not like, like he's playing The Rock, not necessarily Dwayne Johnson.
He's not a deep actor, but he's very charismatic, and it's fun to see him get to play someone who's nice, who's got good intentions. Mm-hmm. At the very least, instead of being someone who's just like a jerk. I've only seen him play a villain really in either the Mummy movies or in Doom. And both of those roles are kind of forgettable. And yeah. he redeemed his Mummy character in the spinoff Scorpion King film. But in the show itself is just, I watched it. It's Sports Entourage. Mm-hmm. It's the Entourage show with a football theme as opposed to a Hollywood actor theme. And like after seeing Silicon Valley and what I've seen of Veep be the other two half hour comedy shows on HBO, in both this and in the show that followed it up, which I didn't get to watch all of,
The Brink.
There was definitely some like graphic sex scenes and stuff. And the random hookup aspect, and it feels back to the Entourage days. And I watched Entourage for a while because it was funny. It had its moments. But it really gets to be that feeling of just, okay, these are just spoiled rich assholes. and the only person to really cheer for on Entourage, for the most part, was Ari. And on this, I think, so far, the only real person to cheer for is The Rock. And do I need to see that show done again in an even less interesting perspective as far as football versus, you know, Hollywood? They're both kind of dull to me, but Entourage, I had enough of it. You know, yeah. I don't know if I kind of want to watch Ballers or not. I did like the other guy who got the job at the car dealership.
Yeah, who I think was in The Longest Yard. I could be borderline racist there, but I want to say it was that actor.
I don't believe it was that actor. I think he was on CSI Miami in the later seasons.
Yeah, I want to say he was involved in a football project, but I can't remember what
he's definitely him. Got the look where I could see him being used in different football films.
Yeah, and he's also in a Esquire show, I can't think of what it is. It's that one where him and his friend just go out around the town and take suggestions from people on where to go and where to hang out.
That's cool.
It's that show. But yeah, I can't think what the name of that show is called. But no,
there was also a moment where my wife was sitting on the couch and I've got the show on, and she hears just someone saying the most vile, offensive thing. And she's like, oh, and she looks up, she goes, oh, it's Rob Corddry. She goes, for some reason, it's acceptable for Rob Corddry to say those things. She's like, because he's not getting any. That's exactly what she said. She's like, look at him. You know, he can say that stuff. The poor guy. That poor ugly man. Like, all right.
Oh, that's great.
I think Rob Corddry probably does all right for himself. I have a feeling, you know, he's a really cool guy when he's not playing his characters. His characters are always, you know, assholes. But Rob Corddry is honestly a pretty talented and funny guy and seems like a good guy. I've seen him interviewed on, like, The Daily Show after he left the show and stuff. I like him. But his stuff, yeah, he plays a lech pretty well.
Yeah. And so, real quick, you hit on The Brink, which is the other show, or the show that followed Ballers in the Veep time slot. And The Brink, very interesting story. Jack Black plays a low-level American embassy employee or something like that. Like, he doesn't work for the CIA, or at least he's really low on there, and just ends up walking into a weird situation. Like, just ends up walking into this, oh, hey, so the guy I've been hanging around with, one of his relatives, I think it was his father, ends up was the psychologist of the, or psychiatrist of the dictator here, and has notes on him. Let's send these over. Oh, wait, they got halfway through. It's really funny. And there's a lot of funny moments in there. A lot of great people in there, like Tim Robbins. Tim Robinson, I believe.
Tim Robbins.
Or Tim Robbins, yeah. He's really good in here.
He's grown so much since Howard the Duck.
Yeah. I cannot think of who the Middle Eastern guy is. He's on The Daily Show. Is it Asif Manvi?
Asif Manvi, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume.
No, he's in there. He's great.
The boss from Workaholics, who I keep seeing in more and more things, and she's really good in all of them. She was great on the episode of Marin that she was on.
Yeah. But no, this one, Ballers, I will stick around with at least through the first season. I think The Brink, I'm pretty sold on. And it's hard to say that because, well, not hard to say that, but hard to say the first part because I'm big fans of both The Rock and Jack Black. That it's like to say, oh, well, The Rock could lose me. It's a little hard. But no, so
The Brink. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to like the show more because of The Rock. And I certainly enjoyed him on it. And it's the first episode. It's a setup premise kind of thing. There's some good drama to it. It's just, man, and I just watching football people be jerks. There's been a ton of shows like that. There was that show where the woman was she was like the therapist.
Yeah, Necessary Roughness.
Necessary Roughness. It's just, man, it doesn't seem like we're telling anything new with these shows about sports figures.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk about other things. But right now is starts and stops.
Hello and welcome to Starts and Stops for June 23rd through the 29th. Starting with Tuesday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. on USA Network, you have the sixth season premiere of Tough Enough. At 9 p.m. on A&E, you have the one-hour special presentation Married at First Sight, 6 months later, Part 2. Fox has the one-hour special World's Funniest Fails, Animals, Nature's Biggest Jerks. And at 10 p.m. on Spike TV, you have the sixth season premiere of Ink Masters. Comedy Central has the new time slot for Inside Amy Schumer. At 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central, you have the series premiere of Another Period. And at 11 p.m. on Spike, you have the third season summer premiere of Tattoo Nightmares, the episode called Dazed and Accused. Wednesday, June 24th at 8 p.m. on CBS, you have the 17th season premiere of Big Brother. Science has the return from hiatus of What Could Possibly Go Wrong. 9 p.m. has the second season premiere on Esquire of Car Matchmaker. CBS has the new episode at a special time of The Briefcase. DirecTV has the third season premiere of Rogue, and USA has the fifth season premiere of Suits. And then ending at 9 p.m. on Travel Channel is the first season finale of Man Finds Food, New York Steakeasy. At 9:30 p.m. on A&E, you have the 8th season premiere of Duck Dynasty. At 10 p.m. on USA, you have the series premiere of Mr. Robot. And on True TV, you have the 2nd season finale of Fake Off. Thursday, June 25th at 8 p.m. on CBS is the time slot premiere for Big Brother. And Fox has the series premiere of Boom! At 9 p.m. on A&E, you have the 9th season premiere of Beyond Scared Straight, Fulton County, Georgia. And CBS has the 2-hour 3rd season premiere at special time of Under the Dome. At 10 p.m. on A&E of the series premiere of American Takedown, USA has the 3rd season premiere of Graceland, and ABC has the 6th season premiere of Rookie Blue. And then at 10:30 on FX, you have the 1st season finale of The Comedians, and at 11:30 p.m. on Netflix, you have the 1st season finale of Between. Friday, June 26th at 3:01 a.m. on Netflix, you have the 3rd season premiere of DreamWorks Dragons, and Netflix also has the special presentation What Happened to Miss Simone. At 8 p.m. on Disney Channel is the original telefilm Teen Beach 2. CBS has the 1st season finale at a special night of The Briefcase. At 9 p.m. on Showtime, you have the 95-minute special presentation of Dennis Rodman's Big Bang in Pyongyang, and Travel Channel has the 8th season finale of Mysteries at the Museum. At 9:53 on Disney Channel, you have the series premiere of Best Friends Whenever, and at 10 p.m. on Epix, you have the special presentation Lisa Lampanelli Back to the Drawing Board, and Animal Planet has the 9th season finale of Tanked, Jeff Dunham's Tank for Dummies. And at 10:30 on Food Network, you have the 1st season finale of American Diner Revival. Saturday, June 25th at 8 p.m., you have on Lifetime the original telefilm Perfect High. 9 p.m. on BBC America is the 2nd season summer premiere of Atlantis. Nickelodeon has the 3rd season premiere of The Thundermans, and OWN has the 2nd season finale of Dion's Family Playbook. 10:30 on Nickelodeon, you have the return from hiatus of Max and Shred. And at 10 p.m. on CMT is the 1-hour special presentation of CMT's Crossroads, Leonard Skinner, and Brantley Gilbert. Sunday, June 28th at 8 a.m. is the 2nd season finale on Disney XD of Marvel's Hulk and the Agents of Smash. At 9 a.m. on DIY is the 4th season finale of Yardcore. 8 p.m. on CBS is the time slot premiere for Big Brother, and PBS has the 3rd season premiere of Last Tango in Halifax. 9 p.m. on AMC is the series premiere for Humans, and Showtime has the series finale of Nurse Jackie. At 9:30 on Showtime is the 1st season finale of Happy-ish, and at 10 p.m. on TNT is the 5th season premiere of Falling Skies. NBC has the 1st season finale of American Odyssey, and WGN has the 2nd season finale of Salem. And finally, on Monday, June 29th at 8 p.m. on Food Network is the series premiere of Cake Wars. 9 p.m. has the special presentation on HBO of Larry Kramer in Love and Anger. 9:30 p.m. has the return from hiatus on the CW of Cedric's Barber Battle. 10 p.m. on MTV has the 5th season premiere of Teen Wolf, and Food has the 1st season finale of Guilty Pleasures.
So that is Starts and Stops with, and video watchers, I messed some stuff up and you didn't hear Tuesday, which really the only things that I can think of that are important are 8 p.m. to USA Network has a 6th season premiere of Tough Enough, Spike at 10 p.m. has Ink Master, the 6th season premiere, and the new time slot for Inside Amy Schumer, and then 10:30 has a show I'm going to talk about here in a quick second. Another period on Comedy Central, the series premiere of that show. And then Wednesday is the start of Big Brother, which, hey, more things we'll talk about! And the other thing that I didn't record and save for later for two reasons. One, because I didn't have the stuff at the time, and two, because it's complicated to do that part extra, is the Netflix starts. And plus, more because it's more interactive between me and Corey. Right. So... This one I actually got from two different resources. So the Amazon one, you'll see it's the at this time period, like of a couple days. But at Netflix, starting the 1st of July, right off the bat, that is pretty shocking, or two of them actually, is The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, Volume 1 through 3,
and Beauty and the Beast. Which I didn't even know was on Netflix.
Yeah, no, this is the bad part, is a lot of times there are things that leave, and you're like, wait, and luckily we have this buffer, so Corey can quickly, when we're done here, you know, this week, watch or rewatch that. Excuse me. But then Beauty and the Beast, which is a show that is still airing. So that part surprises me. And then also, I see here Big Top Pee-wee is going out. And I know they got a Pee-wee movie coming out here soon.
Yeah, so I would expect they'll probably get the Pee-wee movies back. But Beauty and the Beast, didn't the third season just start?
And yeah, but they've never done this for Arrow or Flash. Well, Flash hasn't been on there, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or, you know, any other show that was like right before the new season goes up. Oh, we're gonna take all this stuff down, because that's usually when the fans will binge watch.
Yeah, but if the show just started, then they should have been binge watching before the season began.
Yeah.
So maybe it worked out to be fine timing. And these deals, they're very amorphous. They're getting more and more of this switching back and forth and going to, well, now we're going to go for Hulu, and now we've got a deal with Amazon. I was thinking today that the Apple Music service is just about to start, and how Taylor Swift guilted them into paying people at least a limited amount during their 3-month opening. But the question is still, well, if I listen to one of these services and I pay $10 a month, then what's going to encourage me to actually go buy albums? And I thought about it, and it's really, at some point in time, we're going to see the same sort of thing happen on these music networks, I bet, where for a year or two contract, Taylor's going to go exclusively to Apple and their streaming service and not be available on Spotify or Google or anything else. And then you're going to have to go to maybe Tidal or something for Madonna, and you're going to have to go to Google for Bare Naked Ladies or whatever. That's kind of a weird transition of artists that I just did there. that's what I think is probably going to be the case, is that people are going to make their deals for a certain amount of time. And the only way that you're going to get to keep listening without having to jump from service to service is by buying the albums that you really want to keep. I mean, that's the key thing for me for Google Music, is that I buy albums and I've uploaded to them, so I can listen to all the stuff I already own, no matter if they have it in their service or not. And then the stuff that they do have available, I can listen to from that. But the stuff, Corey, I have very eclectic tastes.
Yeah. And Corey, I hate to interrupt you here, but there's some other big important thing with this. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas gonna be gone the first of July.
I've never seen it.
There, see, it's a public service announcement. You have 8 days.
I don't know that I want to see it. I'm not the druggy guy. There is a Elmore Leonard movie that I saw is going to be, or is on Netflix now, that I've added to my queue. So there's definitely things I want to see, but some of these things, I know I'm going to kick myself if I don't watch Bratz Fashion Pixies and Sleepover Adventure before they go.
Now I'm going to say right meow that one of the great shows that you need to watch on here that will be leaving on July 1st is Super Troopers. Do you understand me? Do you understand me right meow?
Yeah. Dude, I'm freaking out. I will watch Super Troopers. I will skip Club Dread.
One actually surprises me a little bit more, because I think they go by years, like with the deal. So I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back. But The Last Stand, that one Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, because that came out 2 years ago. So it's like a little surprising that it's already gone. Wahlburgers season 1 will be gone on the 14th.
I hope from this earth.
The Inbetweeners season 3 will be gone on the 25th, which In Between Us is such a great British show. And then some of the stuff that'll be added, we have, let's see, on the TV side, White Collar Season 6 comes out on the 4th. So what better way to say America than White Collar? Where is it at? On the 17th, BoJack Horseman Season 2 comes out. And that's... Yes, please, sir. Some of the movie stuff. Not a whole lot that I'm seeing. That, like, Saw 5 comes out on the 1st. What else? Penguins of Madagascar, the movie that came out last year, comes out on the 15th.
Oh, the sequel to Wet Hot American Summer.
Yep.
Which is a Netflix original, I believe. First Day of Camp is coming out.
Yep, on the 31st.
So I assume that they saw the first one on there.
Very possibly. But then over on Amazon, this is the interesting one. You have, on the movie side, starting on the 1st, Wayne's World 2, Bad News Bears, Dragon Slayer, Flashdance, King Kong, The Odd Couple, Star Trek VI, the Undiscovered Country, UHF, Expendables 3 comes in somewhere between the 10th and 16th. At the end of the month is Behind the Candelabra and the Skeleton Twins, which Skeleton Twins, good movie.
Yeah, Skeleton Twins is one I would like to see, but yeah. I don't know if I want to get Amazon Prime to see it. Although I've been ordering so much stuff from Amazon
that it'd be cheaper for you to get Prime. And then some of the other things, some interesting things with this being, I think it's the exclusive part that they got, but Extant, the second season or season two of the episodes will be available 4 days after they air. Same thing with Under the Dome. They had Under the Dome listed on here, but that's the end of June. The Newsroom seasons 1 and 2 are also going to be coming up between the 18th and 24th. And that's the Netflix starts and stops while my dogs are barking. You probably hear it in the background. So on to the movie draft where, I didn't even check to see if this is updated. But Beatmaster's inching ever so closely to us. Corey, the positions have not changed, but...
but they're about to.
But they're about to, because he's closing in on you. Much like that dinosaur that they've modified and was in a commercial 17 years before the movie, it's coming up on you.
Well, I mean, Jurassic World is a monster hit. It held to the number one position the second week in a row. It's very possible that it got the highest second weekend box totals over Avengers. It was very close. It beat out Pixar in Pixar's premiere. And this is the funny thing, is that I've been seeing reviews of Jurassic World, and everyone's like, oh, it's really dumb, but it's really fun, and that's great. Inside Out, I've seen nothing but, like, everybody who's seen it just loves it. They're saying it's their favorite Pixar movie. It's an emotionally touching film. It's beautiful. It's funny. It's got a great character or great characters in it. And yet still came in second place to Jurassic World. I don't know what it is other than the Prattness is the only thing I can think of that is really selling this film. Because I've seen the commercials. The commercials are not all that. They're very familiar to what all the Jurassic Park movies were. And again, I have a friend at work who saw it, and he's like, yeah, it's sort of like the first one. You know, it's really great. But we've seen the giant dinosaurs before several times over now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm impressed. And good for the film, and great for Chris Pratt, and for Bryce Dallas Howard, who maybe will now be distinguishable from Jessica Chastain. But yeah,
I'm updating it live as we are recording right now, because by looking at the draft, draft.nsfw or Diamond Club, where I get our numbers from, I think he might be ahead of you.
That's very possible. I would not be surprised at all. One movie put him into third place versus several movies.
Here's the other part that sort of ticks me off, is my, however many movies I have out so far, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies, have not been able to beat Evan's 1. Just Avengers Age of Ultron, I have not been able to beat him. And I'm like, oh, come on, why can't I do it?
Yeah, but Avengers Age of Ultron has been out for a little while. Yeah. At this point in time, it seems like Jurassic World has the legs to surpass that film.
I get it, because they're dinosaurs.
I don't know what that means.
You said it has legs. Get it? Because they're dinosaurs.
No, I'm saying the box office draw of Jurassic World is not going to be going extinct anytime soon. Don't try to play with me, boy.
I'm not worthy.
It's still an open game, but when you look at the fact that Beatmaster has Ant-Man coming up, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which is one that I think is going to be fun, and Minions, which is a movie that I was already going to stand up against my Pixar film, let alone I was still expecting the Pixar film to do, like, top at the box office. I didn't expect it to get number 2.
Yeah, and so, hold on, I'm almost done. I almost have it. This is the thing where you get so busy you don't check stuff out, and you're like, oh, hey, this is going to make for great TV.
It's also something we could just wait and see the numbers next week. It's not like we're not going to be here.
No, well, Inside Out was a big jump, though, so it may have kept you in the lead, because with how I had it in here, it was only 30 some million, and now it's like, oh, hey, look, it's $91 million. Those are
okay. Yeah, so I'm still in third place at 423.9.
No, you're not. Look.
No, I jumped ahead of you.
Yeah, you have surpassed me. You are in second with all the monies there. So here's the rejiggered order. Beatmaster's in fourth with $398.2 million. I am in third with 404. I'm in third with $414.9 million. You surpassed me by only $9 million, with $423.9 million. And Evan is
that
in first.
$9 million was Entourage.
Yeah. And the taco that you got complimentary when you went and saw Entourage. And Evan's in first.
Oh, no, I have enough diarrhea from this movie. Thank you.
And Evan's in first with $633.1 million. And this is the point I was making. You look at either of our totals, mine or yours, we do not come close to Avengers Age of Ultron alone.
Right. Yeah, but again, 2 weeks of Jurassic World versus however many weeks that Avengers has been out, I see those numbers shifting, and the only film that Evan has left is Selfless, which looks to me like, what was the movie that Johnny Depp was in, the sci-fi film where he was dead and living in the computer? Do you remember the name of it?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it.
Right, because no one paid that much attention to it. That's what I'm thinking when I see Selfless. That was only
a year ago? 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's actually on Netflix streaming now. I'm just saying, it looks like a high-concept, soft ticket sales
soft delivery
film. Yeah, well, no, you know, yeah. I don't want to point downward fingers at Ben Kingsley, but I'm just saying, you know. You were also in Species, buddy. We've learned. You ain't Gandhi no more.
But yeah, so on to the other shows, and so real quick, I want to head on another period, because the billings that I've heard it for, where it's Keeping Up with the Kardashians meets Downton Abbey, nails it on the head. This is the TV show that was created, I think a lot of the episodes were written by and executive produced by Ricky Lindholm and Natasha Leggero. and it's hilarious. I mean, like, and you mentioned this in pre-show, it's like, basically if they've been on Comedy Central minus Jason Ritter and Christina Hendricks, they're on another period, and it's fine. They all work together. David Koechner is in here. He comes in at the end, and you're just like, okay, I see where he's going to be involved, but it's all really funny stuff from them. The Brent Gelman's in here, really good, and I don't know what his character was supposed to be, because I like looked away and looked back. I'm like, wait, he's a tramp looking dude, like a homeless looking dude, in the eating with this staff. Wait, huh? How does this work exactly? What's his name? Michael Ian Black is great in here.
That presupposes that there's anything that Michael Ian Black isn't great in.
Well, no, yeah, true. But
and I mean, would have to say nay, sir.
No. But at the same time, I mean, he's really good, really mean to Christina Hendricks' character. But no, it's really funny. And cannot wait to see episode 2 in a week, because episode 1 hasn't even aired on TV yet. Another one that I want to talk about real quick, then I think we'll do, is a movie that, Corey, you really want to go see. That's What We Do in the Shadows. This is the film that, I think, wasn't it kickstarted?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really know much about this movie until I saw it on your list today. I was like, oh, which one is that again? And I looked it up, like, yeah, that's right. This was something that was available as a spiff, essentially. If you are a Google Chromecast owner, you occasionally get these deals where you get free credits towards different things, and there's a list of movies right now. So check your Chromecast sponsored page.
It's not even that. It's with how it worked is I believe it was any movie. It wasn't just like, oh, it's this list. They give you a list for ideas. And I had the hardest time. I'm sitting there going, do I want to do Interstellar? I think I may have even been able to do Chappie. Or no.
Yeah.
No, it's too soon for Chappie. But
what you do is you look at the list and you see which ones are the $4.99s, because that's the most expensive ones. Anything that's $2.99 is probably already on cable.
Yeah. But with that list, there were some good movies in there. Like, Focus was in there. And I'm like, ooh, I want to see that one. And I'm sitting there going, like, well, I could get this. I can get a movie to where mom could watch it, too. And I'm like, no, I'm doing this. I'm being selfish, because finally I was 80% sold for What We Do in the Shadows. But then I'm like, okay, but there's other stuff out here, too. And then I'm just like, nope, What We Do about in the Shadows. Saved it for a couple weeks, and I'm like, I need to watch that before the 30 days is up, because otherwise I just wasted that offer. And so yesterday, forgetting that BattleBots was on, forgetting that Celebrity Family Feud was on, like, I'm watching this. Do not regret it one bit. It's a great movie. It's set like it's a mockumentary, and Rhys Darby's in it. He plays a werewolf. Hilarious. They get you to feel things in here too. Like, you're not just laughing the whole time. Like, you get to feel, and it's great. The one guy who's a recent vampire, who one of the roommates had turned. It's like, okay, I could see that being how anyone would be if they became a vampire. You know, they're out and I'm like, hey, I'm a vampire. All set in Wellington in New Zealand, and it's just a great movie. I love this movie a lot.
It looks like a lot of fun. I mean, it's got Jermaine Clement in it, who, yeah, he's done some less than stellar things, but he's at least usually pretty funny in them.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of Spinal Tap with vampires is what I kind of presumed from it. And
I've not seen Spinal Tap, so I couldn't tell you that part exactly. But no, it is a good movie.
If you've ever decided that you'd like to be a drummer in a rock band, watch Spinal Tap first.
So you have seen A Deadly Adoption.
And I'm surprised that you didn't, because boy, was this movie totally not something that you want to see. let me give you the selling of it. The selling of it is Lifetime original movie. written and starring Will Ferrell.
Oh, this is that movie.
With Kristen Wiig as his wife. And my God, I mean, it's one of those things that you're watching and you're like, is this lampooning Lifetime movies? Is this a comedy without actually being funny? I've seen Will Ferrell in movies that were comedies that weren't really funny.
Kicking and screaming.
It is so spot on to being a Lifetime movie that I kind of thought, how in the hell do they make any more Lifetime movies after this?
Sure, and
I'm not alone in that. There was no comedy to it. There was like things that you would think, this is instantly, we're going to play it for laughs. No, it's subtle. If anything, it's like Andy Kaufman comedy. It's no, I'm just subverting comedy. It's some new weird, not funny stuff. I just kind of watched it like, crap, they conned me into watching a Lifetime movie. I feel like I've been had. I have been duped, usurped, bamboozled. What happened to Denzel hoodwinked? I feel like Malcolm X. It was not good. My wife loves it. She says it's never coming off the DVR. Because her favorite people in the world are Will Ferrell, especially in Step Brothers, and Kristen Wiig. And she loves Lifetime movies. And they're watching commercials, and they're showing us the unauthorized Full House documentary, docudrama film that's coming up. And she's like, oh, we're watching that? And then they show some other crappy, just regular Lifetime movie, like I'm addicted to alcohol and I'm a cheerleader or something. Watching that? No, please. Why? I feel like I'm getting screwed here by taping something and watching with her. I was doing a nice thing, and they just screw you with it. You have to be a big fan. You have to be a big fan of these two or of these type of movies to watch this movie, because it's just like every other one. It's just like all of them. But if that's your thing, yeah, A Deadly Adoption, that happened.
Yeah. The other movie or the other show I want to talk about, I'll give one a quick plug, and that's Proof. That's TNT's new show. It's interesting. It's definitely a trial for me. Like, it's gonna get two more episodes where it's gotta get good, or like really good.
What is the premise?
The premise is a really accomplished surgeon has to go come along the task with a terminally ill rich guy. He gives her this task of proving that there's life after death. If she's able to prove it, then he will make this obscene amount of donation, like obscene amount of money donation to her hospital that she works at, and all that. And it's interesting premise. It hasn't completely sold me on it yet, though, because I'm like, all right, and we're. From when I watched on Hulu, Dead Like Me, it's got Callum Blue, who was also General Zod in Smallville. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And it's got other people that I recognize. It has not fully won me over yet. So it's an interesting little thing. But the one that did have me, or I was a little leery on it, and then I saw Matt Nix created it. I'm like, all right, giving it a shot because I love Burn Notice, even though I came into it two seasons late and caught up and maintained, was Complications. This is the ABC, or not ABC, USA's new drama that they got going on. I think it'll be paired with Suits when Suits comes out this week. And this one is basically the voice of Batman now, Jason O'Mara.
Yeah, he was the lead in the American version of Life on Mars.
Yeah. But that's more important because, as I told my friends at church, chatting with Dave on while doing this, not good etiquette, but like all I could hear when he was talking at certain points was, oh, you're Batman. You're Batman and Son of Batman, and you're Batman in these newer Batman movies. It's like, all right, okay. But then I had to get my mind out of it. The But the premise is he is a doctor, I want to say surgeon, but maybe just doctor, who is really... There's some underlining things that they haven't hit on yet. And I'm really curious as to how it will play out. Because he saves a squirrel that, or tries to save a squirrel that his dog got at, by stitching it up and he's going to take it to an animal shelter, for them to recuperate and release into the wild. Goes, and this is in the commercials, stops because he sees, someone get hit. Either the kid got hit or got shot in a hit and run, one of the two, and he's sitting there trying to, provide first response to the kid, and the person comes back, the dude who's with him bails, because he knows the kid or whatever, and he just stands up, grabs the gun, stands up, dog barks, and you just hear, he just pulls off, bang, 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 shoots the driver. Really great scene. I'm like, wow. But then you start to get the idea that there might be something more underneath it. And it's an interesting show. There's a lot of great cast in here. A lot of racial undertones because of the two rival gangs. One's the African-American gang. One's a Latino gang. So it's I can see a lot of racial stuff coming out of that. And it's set in Georgia.
Never the Irish and the Italians anymore, man. Third day.
Yeah. But no, it's another great show. So, you want to talk Celebrity Family Feud real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can say about it. It's Family Feud with celebrities. Done.
Well, I enjoyed it. Although I will say Curtis Stone and his family sort of got ripped off because you did not see any. I did not know who anyone else was in his family besides his wife.
Didn't even get introductions. Hardcore. I think they were just blinded by the blonde melange across the way from them. It was funny. We were watching the first half, which was Anthony Anderson's family versus Toni Braxton's. And Aaron is like, who are they? I said, oh, that's Toni Braxton and her sisters and her mom. She's like, none of them look alike. I'm like, well, that's good. That's sort of the anti-message that you get with African Americans. I don't know anybody other than Toni Braxton and her family. I'm like, they probably all went to different surgeons, but then I can't think of her name now. Monica Potter.
Yeah.
And her sisters and her mom, and she's like, oh my God, they all look exactly alike. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty weird. That's like one DNA strand right there, just wrapped all around them. but they just crushed Curtis Stone.
No, yeah, it wasn't even like a little bit funny with that, because here, all Curtis got to say was the charity he was playing for, was standing there for. Let's get it right. I mean, it was like,
well, who's your charity that you're apologizing to today, Curtis? Well, I want to say I'm really sorry, too.
Although I do have to find it, I find it a little funny, and sorry to Len Peralta if you ever were to watch this, but they're wearing, the Monica Potter's family was all wearing Cleveland Cavaliers shirts, they blew it. The Cavs blew it, so little poetic justice there for Curtis Stone. And then other show that came out real quick, I want to give a quick plug to, is BattleBots. I think you said you had it on the DVR, you haven't watched it yet.
I did record it.
Yeah, really good. Some of the people, I'm like, oh wait, I remember that version, because I think the version that aired on PBS here when I was younger, like when I was like 10 or something, was the British version of BattleBots.
I remember it on Comedy Central. Of all things, they used to have BattleBots. Was a half-hour show on that.
Did they have? Oh gosh, what was his name? Something.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember much about it. I think they started replaying it on Tech TV, but I believe it started out on Comedy Central and then moved over.
Yeah,
it was a cool show, it was interesting to see the robotics just beat the snot out of each other. But it wasn't entirely deep. It was, I would have liked to have seen more of a MakerBot kind of part of it where they teach you about making the things and then you get to see them ripped to shreds.
And you might get that a little bit more with like future episodes, but like this, I think they packed in three fights, like three battles in here. It was four. And they're some great fights. I think another thing that would have benefited them more is if they went over the rules, because I know from what listening to the half hour happy hour with Allison Hayslip, who is a sideline reporter on there, she had mentioned that they can't have wedges. Like they can't have just be a wedge, like they be the weapon themselves. It has to be some sort of mechanical, like a flipper action. But then I didn't know that you could have little modular robots with you, like little helper deals. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Although made for great TV, and I'm spoiling one little bit where one of them, the person they were facing, he gets underneath it and just shoots it into the wall. And I'm like, okay, what pieces are left of that? Because it's great to see. Some of the fights in there, I'm like, it had all the classic bout, like, thing makings of an MMA fight, is basically what I'm getting at with that. Because, and it sort of makes sense, Kenny Florian, who is a UFC fighter, or former UFC fighter, is one of the color commentators on here.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when that one robot came running across the screen naked, I knew they were just trying to rip off American Ninja Warrior. So, had his batteries hanging out. It was disgusting. No, I think what I'm expecting is that if the sketch is on again, because I know that the gang from Twit went to see it, Beatmaster saying the same thing. Leo said that they were in the audience. Maybe we'll see him in a shot. I would expect that you will probably see some know-how episodes at some point where Padre and Brian Burnett are maybe working on their own bot. I think that would be really cool. Or a maker show where they do that.
Because they had, and I don't remember who was on the episode. No, they weren't featured yet. If they were on BattleBots. If they were on the season that was on New Screensavers.
Yeah, they said that they went there and they had been there for filming, but they weren't sure when they would show up on the program, if at all.
Yeah, because it's interesting how they have the tournament set up, and they do the prepackaged stuff, and you sit there, and I'm like, okay, I want this person to win. You know, it's just like watching cage fighting, except it's robots instead of humans, sort of deal. And it does get a little sports-ish in the beginning, where they're like, all right, do a quick little intro. Now over to this person, and now over to this person, and now over to this person. It's like, oh gosh, come on. Can we get to the robots destroying each other?
Yeah, and then at one point, you know, we're going to get to a point where R2-D2 turns heel and becomes a bad guy for a while. him and the guy from Short Circuit are in a cage match. And yeah, it'll be good times. No, I was kind of excited to see BattleBots coming back. I just know that it's probably going to be one of those things I DVR and I fast forward to the good parts.
Yeah. So I believe that just about does it for us. You can
mention. Shut up.
Yeah. Go.
The other show that premiered last night was True Detective. And you hadn't seen the first season, right?
Correct.
You never sat through it. The first season was centered around Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson's characters in Southern Texas, where it had kind of a Deep South dark noir thing. It was very good, and it was right at that point where McConaughey sort of took off again, where he went from being in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and all of those sappy romantic comedies. To, oh wait, McConaughey is a good actor. You know, he did this and he's been doing this, and it's like, hey, good comeback for him. Then he did those stupid car commercials a lot. And so it was kind of a big deal until the end of the season, where the story that you would expected was going to go down all these twists and turns and a sort of a supernatural feel, just the way they kind of made it seem, it just kind of ended not exactly in a dud finish, but it was not exactly the payoff that people were thinking it was going to be or hoping it was going to be. And that's probably realistic. But coming back to this season, first of all, the episode starts with just the worst theme song. I don't even know if it counts as a song. I believe it's the same artist who sang in the opening for the last one, but the music is just terrible. And then it's about four characters as opposed to mainly two. Rachel McAdams is a tough cop who's angry, has a lot of angst issues, has sister issues, has dad issues. Then Colin Farrell? Yeah, is an angry cop who's got son issues and ex-wife issues. And then Taylor Kitsch is an angry motorcycle cop who has "I used to be in the military" issues. Do you see where I'm going with this? Is that they're all angry for differing reasons, but in much similar ways. And they're all cops on the edge. And it's the same thing. Like I was talking about earlier, if everybody's Han Solo, then there's who can be really Han Solo? It's the same characters, and they all don't meet up until the last couple minutes of the episode. It's like, here's where we finally give you a story to hang on to. True drunk detectives, Beatmaster said. Pretty good. Yeah, a lot of alcoholism in this. And then Vince Vaughn, being less like Vince Vaughn of the last few years, certainly has lost some weight, looks pretty good. He is a mob boss kind of guy who's trying to go straight, working with Colin Farrell, and they have some like back and forth because he helped Colin at a point in time where stuff happened with his wife. So he's the only one who's at least somewhat different from the other three, but it's just, man, it's kind of miserable, and I don't know who I'm supposed to give a crap about. There are some really rough scenes. Colin's character going to see his kid, and his kid's getting picked on at school, and then Colin is just kind of like screaming at his kid to sort of man up, and his kid can't handle it, you know, because he's a kid. You don't do that to your kid. And then he goes and he talks to a tape recorder, like he's recording notes for his kid. It's for at some point later on, like where he's apologizing, like, yeah, this is why I did this, and you know, I see things this way. It's just really kind of bizarre. And I've seen a few reviews where they've seen the first three episodes and they say that it gets better by the third episode, but it's still not great. I think this is a show that had what was seriously like the talk of the town season in its first season. And then obviously you change everything up for the next season. Now that's something they're doing with Fargo, and I love the first season of Fargo, and I'm expecting good things out of the second season. They've done that with the American Horror Story seasons. Each one has been about different things with the same actors playing different roles. This, they changed actors, they changed storyline, they changed location. This is in California. It might even be a different time period. But it was just sort of a hot mess because there was nobody that you're rooting for, and you don't get any hint of a mystery until that last scene of the show.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the scene is Taylor Kitsch's character finds his body. It relates to Colin Farrell's character. Actually, it relates to Vince Vaughn's character, but Vince Vaughn has Colin Farrell go check it out as his cop guy. And Rachel McAdams' character is there in a police position too. And it's the three of them standing around this body and all looking at each other with their angst faced. And it's just so ham-fisted and like just bleak to be bleak is all bleak. If I say it any more times, it's gonna sound like I'm spinning. I don't know, man. Sometimes a show just gets one good season and that's it.
Yeah,
or they get to reinvent themselves in the third one if it comes back. And it's kind of a tough watch.
Yeah, and also I just remembered from looking over at Beatmaster's thing, Orphan Black, they had their third season finale, and holy crap, it was good. And I kid you not, I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, they're wrapping this up a little too well. They're wrapping this up to where if they get a fourth season, which I think they might have, they're either going to have to revamp or something. And then the last 10 minutes happened. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm ready. Let's go. Come on. Give me the season four.
So it's like, it feels like, oh, it's going to all end. And I don't know how they go on from here. And then that last couple minutes ago, so here's the setup for what comes next. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
That's exactly it. Along with, now, how have you watched Orphan Black before?
I watched the first season of it.
There was even a death in here. I want to say she was recurring. And I'm like, saw it coming. Like, I was hooked in the moment, but then when I'm looking back on it, I'm like, saw it coming. It's the traditional thing of, oh, she's reconciled. Oh, crap. Revealed it was a girl. But no, she's reconciling with people and all this. You know, it's the same thing like when you see, oh, Noah's going to die. Or, oh, here goes Jon Snow. Sort of deal.
Yeah.
It's like,
but Stannis is such a great dad. Aw, oh, damn it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, I don't know, it's still, it's really great. And I'm leaving this vague for if you want to catch up or for anyone who hasn't seen it, that it's well worth the checkout, well worth the watch. It's coming out on DVD in like 2 weeks, I want to say.
Is this one of the ones that's over on Amazon as opposed to Netflix now? Is that the...
I believe so, yeah.
That's the crux of it. Yeah, you... Amazon! Mm.
But they're... Like,
at least it's not Hulu.
Yeah. as someone who had Hulu, the paid version, because it's not Hulu Plus anymore, but they just got the email saying, hey, we're canceling that service for you because you haven't been able to pay for it. I'm like, oh, duh. Thank you. Now, if you can release, quit showing that banner up at top. But that, with all that being said, Orphan Black, go check it out. All the shows we mentioned that we said check them out, go check them out. And you can find more about us, what we got going on, by following us at Twitter on at ElseNerds on Twitter. And you can check out our new webpage that I've been slaving over at ElseNerds.com. And make sure to like our Facebook group at Facebook.ElseNerds.com. And you can see full archives of our past shows. And now this actually makes sense because I put up a live part on ElseNerds.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at watch.elsenerds.com. And we record What Else Is On every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. West. And we have other shows that we'll get around to in the future. And
why do you even say it, man? Why do you gotta end with the down note?
No, I don't. I don't, because I was also unless you're calling what Dave and them do it, like Nick has a down note.
No, that's a high note.
Yeah, because I was going to mention that
if
next.
You like people who are actually good at what they're doing.
No, not okay, good. Okay, it's true. If you want to see people who are actually good, and occasionally us two knuckleheads, there is the Galactic Netcast. It's our sister channel, our sister network on the YouTubes and all that stuff.
We should stop calling it the sister channel. We should start calling it the mothership.
The mothership, yeah. Actually, yeah. Especially if the comic book show goes over there and like we turn it into like a three-way with you popping in every once in a while or whatever. I don't know. That's too inside baseball for right now. But they got
that,
shows.
I was sort of turned on. Okay.
But they got shows like Adventure Party with Brad and other guests. Like
World Weekly.
Yeah, Weird World Weekly with Matt and Dave. The Alien Invasion, the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, which I want to get on there very soon. And then also the Little Net Bites, like Splash Page Podcast and Galactic Gaming News, which I listen to and it's really great. I love that. And all like the S Word, Doctor Who One, like Who Knew?
Who Knew?
Yeah, a whole bunch of little great little bite-sized portion stuff over at Galactic Netcast.
And a great community of people in Galactic Netcast. Not just the headliners, but everybody else who takes part and who also watches and communicates through their Facebook page or on their blogs. Just some excellent people that I've been very happy to kind of get to know and spend some time with. Just a fantastic crowd. So if you have any kind of sci-fi or gaming or geekiness to you, you should definitely check them out.
So basically what you're saying is if you have any nerdiness, you come here, and if you have any geekiness,
I'm just saying we're something else.
But no, so that wraps it up here for us. This has been a Don't Tell Glenn production. We will see you guys next time.
Take care, everybody.